y'all. Hey, it is me again, Dr. Olivia West. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Dr. O After Dark. Now, this is our true After Dark experience. I don't know if y'all can see it a little bit, but I was showing a little bit too much of my thysicus and everything for my clients. I'm glad I was sitting behind my desk today and everything, because it's showing all of the After Dark. But I am so glad to have out here my boy, the one and only Guy Williams.
Hey, I'm just happy to be here.
C-Moss Slim is what they call him, ladies.
Slender with the blender. Brr.
Do that again one more time with
slow.
Never mind. No,
slender
never mind.
Slender with the blender.
Now, before we go any further, I have to shout out your wife, because between them lips and that baby, don't even lie. I know y'all mind was the same place where mine was. We was not talking about no sea moss. We was like, So, before y'all start jumping in his DMs, even if you do, know that I said that he is married. Happily married. Bling, bling. When I say happily, because I know y'all beginning, but are you happy? He is happily married, and she also partners with him in the sea moss business. So shout out to your lovely wife, Mr. Slender with the blender.
Yes. And shouts out to Shauna P, man. Yeah, definitely the CFO. All day, every day.
That means she takes care of all the finances. So if y'all thinking y'all gonna get on up in there, she like, it's cheaper to keep her. Because I handle all of the monies. You can have him, but you gonna have him broke.
Definitely, man. Hey, she's definitely a hard backbone behind the company, man. Like I said, we built this together. Family-based.
Okay.
I got four daughters, so... You know, it's always been important
girl
for me.
Dad.
Yeah. I'm applying the most pressure.
All right.
And so it's like I've always been hands-on with my girls. So it's always been about leaving something, putting a position or an example out there. Because,
uh-huh.
You know, as being a kid myself before, I know your parents can tell you everything. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to do what they say. You're
exactly.
Probably doing the opposite most of the time.
Exactly. Because they don't know nothing.
Yeah. None of my kids work at the stores. Not none of the stores, none of my kids work.
And how many stores do you currently have?
Three. We have three physical locations plus our online right now.
Three physical locations, mm-hmm. plus online. And we're going to get all into everything. Because when I tell y'all here, baby, y'all done heard me talk about this sea moss applesauce before. This is the only sea moss that I can get my 11-year-old to try. I've tried other sea mosses before and they have not been appealing, but I am a fan of this one, this passion mango. When I tell you, it's so nice, it's so smooth, the texture tastes just like eating applesauce, a tablespoon a day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited about this sea moss, y'all. That's why I had to bring you on. But before getting into all of the excitingness and everything of the sea moss,
yes, ma'am.
Four girls,
mm-hmm.
three locations,
mm-hmm.
and online. Seven grandchildren?
Yep.
Seven grand. Now, can we just get into, again, wifey, I'm so... I mean, don't blame me, because I'm telling you, he is taken. But, boy, he look good. I'm taken too, so I can't say too much before my husband be. Yeah. But Man, when we talk about black don't crack, this is not filters from the camera or anything. See, this is what the sea moth do for you. There is not a crack or a wrinkle or anything in a blemish in this skin. The only way that we possibly know that you're aging is because of the very luxurious and handsome grays. However, I know a lot of people who started getting grays in their 20s. So,
I had friends in high school that had gray hair. Like, I had a couple friends that had it, like, actually gray hair, like, in high school.
So, when we talk about that black don't crack, baby, we hear like 20 years old, 4 kids, 4 daughters who don't want to work in the business.
Yeah, don't let me misconstrue it. They don't have to work in there. They all, like, they've been independent their whole life. So one of them works for the IRS. The other one has a great job. I have the 3 oldest ones. They all have their own businesses. So one of them does agriculture. She creates like her own vegetables. She also does sea moss in Mississippi. She's the oldest. It's a territory.
Okay, so if you need sea moss in Mississippi, shout out who we get it from.
That's right. Hey, shout out Zaterica Forkenberry or AKA Pinky. Everybody knows it's Pinky.
Zaterica Forkenberry or AKA Pinky, Mississippi. Y'all shout her out for all of your sea moss.
And then I have Katera, which is the next to oldest, which my first 2 daughters are born on the same exact day, 5 years apart.
Wow. Now, give me your first daughter's name.
My first daughter's name is Zaterica.
Zaterica. And then is...
The second one is Katera.
Zaterica and Katera.
They both born on August 27th.
You mean they Virgos?
Yeah, yeah. Which means around holiday season, I ain't playing no games.
Y'all ain't see me roll my eyes at them Virgos, because this is Libra gang, gang, gang. I mean, them Virgos. Whew.
Yeah, you know, everything a little second to Gemini, though. Okay. I'm Gemini gang. I only know one game.
I'm going to just sip on that. No, because he said he's Gemini with one game, but we already know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Multiple
Geminis.
Gangs. Multiple gangs.
Multiple personalities.
Call us the sockets of the zodiac. We can handle multiple plugs.
So speaking of multiple plugs, see, I was gonna go somewhere else with that, but we gonna get into that a little bit later with Dr. O. You talked about 2 of your daughters. Mm-hmm. You got 2 more, so there's clearly more. Some people was plugging in.
Yeah, well, Pinky does sea moss in agriculture. Katera works for the IRS, and she also has her own lash line.
Nice.
So she does lashes.
So Katera, shout out. You can hook me up with my lashes and my taxes.
Lashes and taxes. For sure. Kalara being the next to baby, she's the Gemini baby. Shouts out to Kalara. Everybody swears she one of my favorites because me and her look alike. That's my baby. She has a super great job. She with DHL. But she also has her own thing. She does those pendants and locks for people that pass away, like when you have the remembery thing.
Oh,
so she does them
yes.
in gold, silver. Uh-huh. Angel wings, circle squares, however.
Nice, okay.
She does that. And then my baby girl is Mackenzie. She's the 8-year-old. She's the baby of the bunch, but she's the boss of the bunch. She got her own YouTube thing going on.
Shout out to Mackenzie.
Yeah, she's a baby boss for real. Like, her passport tattooed all up. She's been all kind of countries. She getting them more benefits. I think that is kind of unfair in parenting because as I became older, with every child, I became a better dad.
Exactly.
So with Pinky, I was a high school dad. I didn't know what the hell to do. Mm-hmm. I was just out there just acting a fool. And then with Katera, I always call her my change of life baby because I moved to Atlanta. I kind of got more serious about fatherhood and like looking at what I was doing versus I can't do some of this stuff because it might lead me not to be here for these girls.
Absolutely.
And so then Kalara came, my Gemini baby. So I think as that time went on, now Mackenzie's the baby.
And gets a different scenario.
Entrepreneurs now. We all over the world. We traveling. We live in multiple places. Her life is just different from
others. It's different.
Yeah.
And I can relate to that because even although I do not have four, I have two children. I have my 23-year-old son and an 11-year-old daughter. And my 23-year-old, I had him when I was 19, going on 20, in the military. And he went through all those different phases of life, from the military to law enforcement to me going first starting out with my associate's degree and on through. And by time he had graduated high school and things like that, I was just now getting started in my career to where he could finally reap, you know, the benefits. But he was an adult. Mm-hmm. But my 11-year-old, she'd not have to go through and experience any of those struggles of like single parenthood or me working multiple jobs to make ends meet, or, you know, even me pretty much being in school. She gets to reap all of the benefits of me being Dr. Olivia.
Yeah.
So how has that changed the trajectory in your relationships between your children? Like, do they look differently as in, well, I didn't have any of this, but she does, or you didn't parent me that way? Because that's another thing. Yeah. There is no handbook to parenting. And I hear it a lot where there are siblings who come after that first one. It's like, well, you didn't do me. You didn't parent me like that. Well, we didn't know.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, all I know is what my parents taught me or what have you. And that might be in corporal punishment. I'll beat your ass and yeah. I didn't know that until I started growing and being a parent, changing my tax bracket and social and economic income and different things like that. And so, yes, your siblings may have a different lifestyle than what you did. So how do you, if you've experienced that, how do you rectify with that between your older children and your younger?
It's like, it's funny because I have all girls. So this is an attention thing all the time. I don't differ between it because I'm not going to spend any energy in this space thinking about what I didn't do in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoever I was then, I can only control what I could then. And I explained to all my daughters, it should be the way it is. I should be better now than I was then. The only difference that is trading, because some people might say, well, the younger baby gets to do more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really a swap. You're swapping availability for affordability. When I didn't have, I was always there. I was always at home. Oh, you want to watch a movie? You want to play around?
Yes.
You want to do this and do that?
Now that
we can afford more things, I'm not there
as much.
I'm
not there because I got to make the money to be able to afford it.
And I remind the older kids that y'all had availability more than affordability. The things y'all know, I taught y'all everything that I knew. Yeah, I got all girls, so I always kept it honest with them.
So how would you suggest that works for individuals who didn't have the availability or the affordability? We do know that a lot of times, especially in minority, you know, communities, that a lot of the children are primarily raised by their mom in a single parent household. Mm-hmm. So we're dealing with a father who is not available.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not because they're out here, you know, trying to hustle or what have you. It may be because of, I'm not your dad. It may be because living a street life. It may be because of imprisonment or what have you. So how would...
They might have never been available.
Absolutely. They may have never been available. So speak a little bit about that more. So about the or, they may not have never been available.
Well, statistically, it's more women than it is men.
Mm-hmm.
So there's more girls born than boys. So when you look at the whole trajectory of it is, there's never going to be a time when every single woman can have their own man. Because there's not enough men. the numbers prove that. Like, it's not always what I'm saying. It's just facts. There's more women born than men. So if everybody came outside and tried to pair up with each other, all the dudes would have somebody in their hand. But because there's more women produced, all women won't. So it's just sometimes I think the trajectory always just kind of looks at it like, well, it's kind of like this and this is how it's going to be. No, life is really life. And we all experience it at different times. It doesn't matter which tax bracket you're in. We're all going to feel the same things. Pain, happiness, bereavement. It's all coming in different forms of fashions. Absolutely. In times. We can only prepare ourselves in certain ways. Because you could be making $1 billion. If somebody close to you pass, you're not going to feel no different than the person that was homeless that had somebody close pass. It's all human abilities too, it is. So it's just the nature of the relationships. Men, women, more women than producing men. Because it seemed like we all was raised by women. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it looks like the man wasn't in the house. But that's always going to be the end equation if he never was the ladies' dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
If y'all were just messing around, or he was somebody else's guy and y'all, you know, you had your thing going on, then he was never going to be in that house. So now statistically, this child is being raised in a single family home, but he was conceived in a single family home. That's a statistic that's not out there.
That's
who's conceived in a single family home. If you're having kids and passing, we partying, we all going out, we having a good time, you get pregnant. Like, however the situation happens.
Have it works out, yeah.
It all takes a village anyway. So exactly. It's like, these children, somehow God makes sure everybody's okay. More of these kids that don't have the double parents, it's amazing how they turn out to be LeBron James. It's amazing how God still puts that, the diamond factor. You find diamond in coal. It's like he's still putting the highest kings birthed and raised in the lowest places.
Absolutely.
So the formula really isn't changing, because I guess the more you're born with, the less you have to do. I mean, if you're born rich, I wish I was born rich. I tell people that all the time. They're born rich is a wrong thing. You won't have no drive. Give a damn about drive. I can pay somebody to take me there.
Exactly. I ain't got to drive. Somebody else is going to drive for me. That's why I got a chauffeur for.
I would use the knowledge of others before us. But in our culture, unfortunately, we don't come from histories and years of families that can teach us about industrialism.
Exactly.
So it makes us have lack of knowledge. And we're all doing, it's like you said about parenting. Mm-hmm. There's no handbook on parenting. For black people, I feel like there's no handbook
on anything.
Life.
There's no handbook on
because
anything.
Every year it changes.
Yeah, and
the
we're
narrative, the laws, everything
out.
Changes. So it's like we're always constantly on the move, trying to evolve and see where we can fit and where not to be disruptive. But I notice in our disruptiveness too, other races take a back seat and say, well, hey, if it ain't us, let's just hush.
That's it. But even in our own race, we say, if it does not have to do with me, then let me take a back seat.
Remember back in the days, nobody could get their lights cut off or get put out without your neighbor coming outside and being like, run that cord to my house.
Exactly.
Bring them kids over here in the light and let them eat
throwing
so they take a bath
party.
So they don't see this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, throwing a rent party or whatever. We gonna come together and raise your rent.
People see your lights off now and see your kids outside. They will film you. They will, before they think of even helping you,
they will film it.
To see if this could possibly be monetization.
For them.
Over and charity.
They won't even give it back to you.
Sad,
they will
man.
Film what happened to you, get the likes, the loves, the oh my gods, the whatever, and not even put that funds from the monetization back to you.
Not even care though. It's like, the sad part about it, the internet and all this stuff make people not care. We've become unhuman to care.
Yeah, everything has made it unsensitive.
Everybody's seen somebody get killed at this point. Either on video, on a video game or something. We've all seen somebody get shot at this point. Back in the days, it wasn't like that. Only special people seen those things. And their life turned out the way it did because they seen them things and they grew in them environments and they were forced into that. 8, 9 brothers and sisters, one parent home. Somebody got to hustle. people was forced. Now it's like more voluntarily. People are more voluntarily throwing their life.
And us who are not a part of that lifestyle, but have been exposed to it, if you go back into like my generation and things like that in the 90s with like Rodney King, and we bring it up to, you know, even further with George Floyd and things like that, even if you're not exposed to that lifestyle, seeing that in the media brings some sort of compassion. But now that we are consistently seeing it, when I go on to, every morning I go on to my news brief, and it will show me what's happening basically in the world. But let's forget about all of the world for a moment. Here in the United States, mm-hmm. it's gonna show me about the person who was murdered, kidnapped, this, that, the child that had this done to the person that. And so we are so desensitized to a lot of crimes and trauma that impact us. But I say even more so in minority communities, we've been desensitized to that because we're, you know, in a way taught that this is how it's supposed to be. Black on black crime, drug dealing, this, that. What else do you expect? Even if you look at, as you said, your life, you said that you grew up as a teen parent and you have four children now. Okay, well, in that trajectory, before you got married and, you know, started your own business and everything else, it was, what do they expect?
Yeah.
Of you. What is that trajectory? It's not that you're gonna be a successful business owner.
Mm-hmm. The trajectory is I'm gonna be working for somebody pretty much until
at
I
most,
die.
At most, at the best.
Trying to keep up, you know what I'm saying?
And at the best. At minimum, you know, at the worst, you're going to be in prison and camp and going to continue to recidivate that because you can't get a job because of your criminal record. You can't get a good job, and it's going to continue to perpetuate you being consistently in that system.
But that's only for us, though.
Of course it is.
Because I tell people that all the time. When black people go to prison, that whole thing about you go to prison, you become a felon, it's going to be hard to get a job, that's not a narrative all the way across the board. That's just a narrative for black people, and I think we're confused that everybody goes to the same thing.
No, it isn't.
That's
not true. Because half the time people, when they don't see your skin color, they're not even checking for your criminal background.
Man, a lot of jobs don't even do that no more.
Yeah,
a lot of these jobs don't even waste money paying that no more. Because here's the thing. If you know somebody that works at a place, whether you've been to prison or not, if you know this person that owns a place or the general manager and your dad knows them or whatever the situation is, I don't care if you're white, black, or whatever. Hell yeah, you're supposed to hire that person. That's what's wrong with us.
Exactly.
We don't do that enough.
That.
Like,
yeah.
It's people that have management jobs and supervisor jobs at jobs mm-hmm. that worked with people when y'all
and
were both equal. You're here right now and you still haven't promoted none of your partners or none of the people you done been to lunch with, hung out with. You too worried about not hiring them so you don't look bad in the eyes of the man.
Yeah, but that's also, but that even goes into discrepancies there at is. Because if I made it to this particular level in a mm-hmm. predominantly white company, mm-hmm. and I have all these subordinates on it who may be well qualified, but in order for me to keep on pushing myself up on the ladder, mm-hmm. I cannot promote individuals who look like me. I gotta go in, I gotta promote all of the others, and then it looks like I'm a team player. So it then puts me into a dilemma. Doing it for the people in the community or doing it for my own family. Mm-hmm. See, that's the problem because, you know, if I'm doing it for the people and the community, then there may be certain sacrifices I'm willing to make. I'm willing to not get that extra promotion. I'm willing to be known as the starter, the stir maker, or whatever. And they're gonna bypass me for that next position, but I've lifted up so many others to get to that managerial position. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other set where, you know, I'm gonna follow the game. And I'm going to hire these others who don't look like me or promote these other people who aren't qualified, but because the man or whomever said I need to promote them, then if I play the game, then that elevates me in my personal life. So what does that do? And it's not necessarily about being selfish, mm-hmm. But instead of elevating what many people see as being selfish, because it's still elevating the community, I'm doing it for a legacy for my children, for my spouse, for my partner. I'm making the different money to be able to get us to this next level. So now if I'm worried about helping out all of us, it's going to keep me at this certain socioeconomic status. But if I'm able to play the game, and it's going to get me in my personal life and the socioeconomic status, so therefore now I can pay for and afford these things in my own family. I got to afford to send my kids to private school. And they have it for the next generation. So it puts us into this dilemma that non-minority people don't have to deal with or don't have to face of, you know, am I going to do it for the community or I'm going to do it for my community, my family, my life? And it's such a hard dilemma trying to do them both, because we so much have the wherewithal to say, I want to get up out of this poverty. I want to get up out of this socioeconomic status. I want to get up out of what, you know, what I was raised under. But how do I get up out of this? And I tell a lot of people that, you know, we often look at it and say it's the crabs in a barrel mentality. You know, that's what we have in the Black community and communities of color. You know, the crabs in a barrel mentality. Got to step on another person to lift each other out. And what I tell people oftentimes is that not everybody is looking for a handout. Most of us is just looking for a hand up. You made it. You got the blueprint. There's nothing new under the sun. There is, no matter what business you go into, there is enough for all of us to get it. We're not in competition. No one is, no matter what you're doing. You have CMOS.
Yeah, I know a bunch
what
of people
What is benefit CMOS. Of you telling, tearing down the next person that sells CMOS? It's not, because there is enough people. People are going to see you. They're going to want, I love your CMOS, and I'm going to promote it to the day I die, because it tastes so much better than any other. But there's other people who may have another love that's on the West Coast or here or there. There's enough people out here in this world to need anything, whether it's therapy, whether it's CMOS, it's whatever. But so many of us in communities of color are so interested in tearing that next person down and standing on that person's head, because in order to make, because that's what we've been brainwashed to believe.
Well, they've trained us that it's only a certain amount of spots.
Exactly.
But the problem is, instead of thinking of how many spots it is, just creating your own space.
Exactly.
If we start to fall back in love with ourselves, we'll be good. See, here's the reality of it is, we fell in love with the American dream.
And that goes back into self-love. Yeah. You're saying falling in love with yourself. And I tell my clients all the time that there's a difference between needing you here and wanting you here. When you fall in love with yourself and who you are and what you can bring, anybody that comes into my life is because I want you here. Maybe you'll help enhance it. But otherwise, it's a matter of because I need you here. I need you in my life to fulfill whatever voids that I have. Yes, I can achieve the highest degree level. But I'm still not satisfied. I'm still unhappy. I can have my own business, but I'm still unsatisfied. I'm still not happy. Why? Because I'm seeking it externally. I need people here to validate me. Yeah. What we're working on is having that. I've done the work. I've done the self-care. I've done the therapy, done the meditation. I've done whatever it takes that needs to be done in order to get my healing. And so anything that I produce from now on, it's not because I'm begging and I need you here. It's because I want you here. I got a good ass product and I want you to try.
Yeah.
My product. I'm not suffering out here for you to buy my product, because, you know, I've already got to a point where I have my following. I know what I got here. I don't need you, but I want you. And that's where we want to get at in every aspect of our life to be able to be successful, to be able to be happy, to be able to flourish is because I don't need you here. God, you're in my life.
Yeah.
Because I want you here.
Yeah. And like you said, and to be able to experience life is raw, man. We have to stop being scared of experience life raw. We can't wow. take all of these. Everything is premeditated. So it's like, get ready for this. Get ready for mm-hmm. this. Some bumps come unexpectedly. And the reason why they come like that is because there's a learning process from that. It's 7+ billion people in the world. We all share the same planet, but every single individual is in their own bubble.
Absolutely.
What motivates you don't motivate me. What hurts you don't hurt me. So we can't be on the same in the same world.
Absolutely.
We're just on the same planet. We're sharing the same terrain. But as you walk around, it's a bubble around you that's full of Dr. O shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's it.
And it's only stuff you can see from your experiences. You might see something going on with me. It could be crushing me on the inside. You might be like, that look foolish. What is he doing? He look like an idiot. But I only feel it myself because I'm experiencing it. And I think that's a balance that we all have to be acceptable of and say, listen, compassion. When we all wake up, if you a titan or you a tiger, you wake up and try to kill anyway. You like,
absolutely.
Listen, I'm waking up in the morning, blessing to God, hallelujah, everybody. Every time I come on set. So where am I at? That's the mentality we have to have. And we have to enjoy and be truthful with ourselves. Everything we don't have is just a result of the work we haven't done.
I love that. Say that again.
Everything we don't have is just a result of the work we haven't done. There's nobody out here that's busted their behind, worked 15+ hours a day for 10 years more. There's nobody out here that's done that that's not successful right now. Because they put in more than 10,000 hours.
They
stayed at it. They sacrificed family. They sacrificed relationship. They sacrificed different things to have a greater good. It's almost like my grandma used to say, you're going to go out every week and have a foolish time, or you gonna pick your poison and go out every now and then and have a hell of a time. It's the times we picking. Are we just going out to be seen?
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We just going out to be seen for no reason to make people think we're outside.
Especially in Atlanta, keeping up with the Joneses. I'm this, I'm that, I'm.
Or we waste that time and pick our poison and say, you know what? I'm gonna go somewhere 2-3 times a year, but when I go out, it's Dubai.
It's gonna make.
When I go out,
impact.
It's Mexico. When I go out, you know what I mean? You're making an impact. You're not only motivating people through your words, but you're inspiring people with your actions. They seen you get on that damn plane. They
Absolutely.
Seen you paid the money to go over here to Cabo or Turk. They seen you do that. And if they can't do it, they'll live that experience through
you.
They'll see Dr. O. Well, shit, Dr. O live in Madagascar. Let me go on here and see what Dr. O doing.
But they also, again, it goes with exposure.
Yes.
I cannot achieve nothing and be anything if I have not already been exposed to it. Where the heck is Madagascar? Never heard of Madagascar. How can I dream of ever being in Madagascar until I've been exposed to it? Now I've seen pictures. Now I've seen what the ocean looks like. I've seen what the terrain, and I'm like, oh my God,
yeah.
I want to go to Madagascar. How many times have, you know, I never knew in Thailand, Phuket. Mm-hmm. You know, how beautiful is Phuket? Now that's on my list. I'm like, nah, if you're familiar with Phuket, it's P-H-U-K-E-T. So in the U.S. language, the P-H is an F. Mm-hmm. So I'm always like, I'm going to fuck it. Like, I'm just about to leave everybody behind.
Yeah.
And I'm going to fuck it. They're like, what do you mean fuck? I'm like, yes, in Thailand, fuck it.
Sounds like
They're
an
like,
amazing
Phuket?
Destination.
I mean, who cannot go to a place like Phuket, a.k.a. fuck it, and not have any worries?
See, I'm never going to be able to call it Phuket.
You're never going to call it Phuket again. Because
sorry,
where
brother.
Is the H in Phuket?
A lot of this stuff is silent.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a silent, and so the P-H is a... So we going to fuck it. Because... We've done the work, and sometimes, we just need a fuck.
You got to, man. You got to. Life is so much, like, life can get heavy on you if you let it. So it's like a lot of times, man, we don't let go because of, we feel a weight for everything. Like, mm-hmm. I knew before, I used to didn't travel out the country because I felt like, well, I didn't want to go because if people around me or close to me couldn't go, or I couldn't take them, or they couldn't pay to, you know how them trips start out with 12 of your friends, we all going to
such and such. Yeah.
The day of the trip is like three people. And that's usually the same three people that keep going to all the trips. Because
as long
it's
as
like
you have that dedicated, you can't worry about. And that's why for me, you know, even as an international psychologist, and I do a lot of travel for my work and research, but even for leisure, hit me with a solo trip. Leave my husband, leave my kids, leave my friends, because on a solo trip, all I gotta worry about me. If I wanna get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I wanna go on this excursion or go and do, guess what, I'm gonna do it. If I don't wanna get up to 2 o'clock, then guess what, I'm gonna do it. And that a lot of people, they're always like, oh, you go by yourself. Oh, you left your husband. Oh, you damn Skippy. Why? Because if I can find people who are aligned with me, and enjoy the same things, like when I go on quote unquote vacation, there's a couple of different type of vacations I like.
Yeah.
It's either one that I would consider as a true vacation, that's on the beach somewhere where I'm not doing anything, just lounging on the beach every day. Then there's other ones that I take more frequently where it's a vacation, but it's exploring a new part of the world that I have not been in before. And when I'm doing that, I like to be immersed in the culture. I'm not trying to be at the Ritz at a 5-star X, Y, and Z, having all the bread and breakfast and eating that. No, I want to experience the community and the culture and the locals. And so a lot of times I would do, you know, pre-COVID, it used to be this website, and I believe they still have it around, but it's not as popular, but it was called Couchsurfing. So with Couchsurfing, it was regular everyday people who traveled a lot, and they'll open up their home to you. Mm. And you can either have the full bedroom or whatever they had available, and you get to live as a local. So for a lot of my traveling, I like to experience things as a local. Now, if I'm going on a vacation, that is, oh, I'm just going to Jamaica to be on the beach the whole time, or I'm going to Bora Bora, or fuck it, or whatever, just to be on a beach. But when outside of that, I like to be immersed in
you got to
the culture.
How the hell you gonna know? I mean, if you don't immerse yourself in the culture, how would you know what it's like?
It is.
Because everything else, if you go the tourist route, you're gonna end up at Fridays, Applebee's.
And what's the point of saying...
What's the frog thing? Senior Frog.
Yes, yeah, that's what
they
frog,
yeah, that's what they do abroad. Yeah. Come to Senior Frog. They get you in there for them chicken.
KFC, like, McDonald's. What's the point?
Shouts out to KFC in Jamaica, though.
Yeah.
Shouts out to KFC. They rated the best KFC in the world.
Now, I will tell you, I'm not a chain restaurant person when I eat international. Mm-hmm. Now, I did have a shrimp sandwich in Jamaica. Japan, just because I wanted to experience it. But I'm like, I ain't eating at McDonald's. I ain't eating at KFC. I can have that at home. But I did hear, and so I'm looking forward to it the next time I go to Jamaica, that the KFC.
Yeah. Montego Bay. I don't even eat KFC.
It's very different. But I don't eat KFC.
I'm going to tell you what I realized. First of all, they sell real fries. They don't have the crinkle fries or the potato wedges. So these are real fries. Once I realized all the chicken and everything at this KFC is made, grown right there in Jamaica, they're the only KFC that don't have to go along with the other KFCs to order the stuff. So all other KFCs get their chicken from the same place, potatoes from the same place. This specific one, because it's Jamaica and it's on the island, they have people that do the chicken, the potatoes right there.
Oh, wow.
So it's all organic. It's all organic and grown. So when you taste it, it tastes completely different.
Yeah, so I stopped eating KFC a long time ago. So shout out
this the old KFC.
1998.
Original recipe?
Which is when I graduated in class of 1998. And back then, it was like, oh, well, they stopped saying Kentucky Fried Chicken. And they moved to KFC because it's no longer chicken. They can da da da. So ever since then, I was like, I ain't eating no more KFC. And then I seen an episode, I think of like the Housewives of Atlanta or something, where they said that KFC in Jamaica is totally different. So I ever since then. But traditionally, I don't eat the local food. Like most recently, I went out and they had it was jellyfish. Spiced jellyfish.
Never had that.
And I never had jelly. It wasn't good. But I was like, I never had jellyfish before. Let me try it.
You did? What was the texture like?
Nasty. it was like an appetizer. Mm-hmm. And so it was still that jelly type of taste, but it was spicy, so it was like tossed in maybe like their Chinese spices
sauce,
or something.
Some lime or something.
Yeah, something like that. But it was still that jelly type. It wasn't like, I mean, I would, it's like calamari with octopus.
I don't like calamari.
I love calamari.
And I'm going to tell you the reason why, because I'm a country boy at heart, so I need all my stuff extra dead. Like, my chicken got to be fried crispy. My fish, it got to be fried crispy.
Well, you can get some good fried calamari.
Man,
so that's
and I tried
saying.
It, but it's too much chewing.
Then you would not like, you would not like the jelly.
Yeah, jellyfish.
I would like, if they fried the jellyfish like in a calamari, I can probably, tolerate it. But it wasn't, You like fried green tomatoes?
Yeah. And I'm going to say this about calamari. I'm not going to discredit calamari because I don't think I pushed my level of calamari yet. Okay. The reason why I say that is I can't judge calamari if I only ate it at Applebee's. You feel what I'm saying? Or not at Applebee's, but wherever the hell you might get calamari.
I think I got calamari at Applebee's.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I know they
got calamari.
Olive
Garden. They may got it at the Olive Garden.
Yeah, but I'm saying I've only had it I take it back. I think I have tried it at, what's the place on Virginia Avenue? Spondivis. I've tried it multiple times, so I'm not going to discredit it because I know certain dishes, depending on where you eat it at, it can be a different.
Well, I will say that calamari is more chewy, and you can get it if it's more crispier, it's considered as probably more overcooked.
Yeah, see, I can't deal with the chewy. Like, if it's oyster, I don't really like oyster, but it's more of a tongue food. So I can put it on my tongue and just bring it in.
And just what?
Bring it in, but the chewy of the calamari is just
I didn't hear what you said about the oysters. You can just do what?
Put it on your tongue and just.
You were talking to the
eye.
Put
it on your tongue and bring it in, like.
I think your hand is in the way.
Like that.
He said.
Yeah, but oysters is like a more fun, it's a more fun mouth type of food. Calamari is something you got to
chew. It's a fun mouth type of food. And earlier, what's your name again?
Slender with the blender.
For the camera.
Let me speed that up, though. Yeah, that almost sounds like the same speed as a rose.
Not like
that. Slender with the blender. Brrr.
Oh, so you said the same speed as a rose.
Yeah, it was. I was sounding too slow.
You're familiar with the rose?
I sell them.
Oh.
I do overall wellness. This ain't just sea moss.
Baby.
This is sea moss health, sexual health, skin health, hair health. This is
so let's talk a lot about that, because these locks, if y'all have not seen them up close and personal, they are absolutely gorgeous. How long have you been growing?
Probably about 12 years, I would say.
Miss Shawnee, I know you enjoy it.
She at home thinking right now, like, damn, why didn't it come?
Because you needed to be here. You needed to be. See, now you're jealous and you're going to have to come back and do your own episode. Because I know you are just fine as whatever. And you have to show everybody. Like this here with the Splenda to remember. Slender
with the blender.
Listen. And we were talking earlier, which I wanted to come back to. Mm-hmm. You're talking about it takes a village.
Yeah, it do take a village to raise somebody. Uh-huh. And raising don't just start in your adolescence, because some of us are immature in our grown years.
So did it take a village to raise you?
Oh, most definitely. Still taking a village now.
Oh, it's still taking a village. Talk about this village that is taken now.
Well, yeah, I have. It's just like, it's multifaceted parts. Like, I have, you know, people that I, for different things, I have people that I lean on for advice, people that I talk to about finance, people that I talk to spiritually. So in order for me to be overall rounded, I have different people, you know what I'm saying, that pour into just making sure that I stay authentically me, you know what I'm saying? And I'm a people person anyway. I like people, I like going places, traveling. Meeting new people is like a hobby.
So how does this play into part with Shawnee? Are you guys in, would you say, was becoming more prominent and things like that is what a lot of people are steering away from monogamous relationships and going into polyamorous relationships with realizing or under the assumption that, as you said, there's not one person. Oh, I got the hiccups. Forgive me. There's not one person to fulfill everything. Some people believe in that.
Well, no, I don't think that. I mean, I think my queen can't fulfill all of it. I think, like, when people say...
So we want to clarify that means...
Yeah, let's go on and clarify
that. That means...
But, I think...
Shawnee can fulfill everything, so you heard it from me. Do not be in this young man's DM. And if you are, do not blame it on me.
Yeah, nah, it's, you know, it's like, I hear people talk about like the poly thing or whatever. And I don't know if everybody that's getting into the poly thing is really poly. Because like, anything you do, whether it's CMOS, whether it's a business, whether it's being Dr. O, you have to make a commitment. So if you're really not committed to the poly thing, maybe you're just having fun.
And that's the problem.
Yeah, maybe y'all like having fun.
A lot of people don't realize that there's rules and there's restrictions to polyamory, just as there is to monogamy. Mm-hmm. Polyamory does not mean that you can go out and be with anybody that you want to be with. You can still cheat on your partner and be in a polyamorous relationship. Why? Because you not expose your new partner and things of that nature.
But I don't even think it's cheating, because your partner know you. So if you're in a relationship poly or whatever and you're actually cheating, that's just your tendencies of things that might get you excited. It's situations that come for, like, you have people, like I said, everybody's in a different bubble. So you have women, you have men that all have different tendencies, different all type of stuff. So you just never know what sparks or what can bring up, you know what I'm saying, from another person.
So that also brings into the difference between poly and open, which is having those different connections, those different sparks and things of that nature. Yeah. You mentioned that you and your wife or your partner is not in a polyamorous relationship.
Yeah. Are you guys in either one.
Okay. Oh,
We're not in an open relationship or we're not in a polyamorous relationship.
Do not come for him.
Yeah.
Because his wife will cut you.
Yeah.
She will cut you. She will cut you.
If you want me, you gotta call her.
I'ma have to call. Because we are based out of Atlanta. And you know there are some who will call her.
Well, yeah, nah.
And be like, sis. But no. So y'all don't call her. She and he.
Okay, call me before you call her.
We ain't calling nobody. We ain't a monogamous.
Just put the Batman sign in the air. Throw the Batman sign up in the air. And that man will show up. Throw up the that man, and then that man shows up.
What's the that man sign?
Well, it's the opposite of the Batman sign. It's like that man.
I guess if y'all know what that means, because I'm out of the loop. I don't know what the opposite of the Batman, yeah, of the that man. It's the, yeah, sound of hooty hoo. Y'all go ahead and do the hooty hoo.
Hey, this is what happened when you have the dark with Doc Omen.
Let me tell you, you never know what's going on. We got to get the wifey in here because she might be like, ow, for the right one. Hey. The sea moss will get you done. So let's get into this. As I said, I love this passion mango. Mm-hmm. And I've tried many a different sea moss. And I love this one, mm-hmm, because number one, I did my research on it. And I seen that it is gold. And, mm-hmm, I did not realize that there's several different types of sea moss, mm-hmm, that gives or produces different types of factors in your life and whether or not how healthy it is. You can be getting some sea moss and think you're doing a good job, but it can be low quality. So, mm-hmm, can you tell us a little bit about your sea moss gel and it's gold?
Yeah. Our sea moss gel is out of St. Lucia. Like you said, it is mostly facets. It's gold, we have green, we have purple, and we have full spectrum. The kind of differences is the greens are higher in chlorophyll. The, okay, purples are higher in antioxidants. So a lot of the purple sea mosses is used in your beauty supplies. First of all, sea moss has been used for years. A lot of times you never knew it was sea moss because in a lot of Jell-O's and candies, it's named as Corpus Crispus. So that's the reason why you didn't know it was sea moss. It's the, okay, number one gelinator in the world. You can add sea moss to anything and make it Jell-O. Like, wow, literally anything, cakes, gelatin, gelato, anything you can add sea moss. And it's in a lot of products.
Yeah.
Anyway. So it's kind of like, it was one of them type of things that was kind of around. Irish people really kind of put it in. That's why I got the deemed Irish sea moss. When the European famish was coming on, they were big on sea moss and potatoes because they knew that sea moss was high in protein. So when you eat sea moss, it's just like when you take a tablespoon of sea moss. Mm-hmm. Your body doesn't know if you took a tablespoon of sea moss or just ate a whole bowl full of fruit and vegetables.
Wow.
You just gave your body 92 minerals. That's why it's great for weight loss.
And only a tablespoon?
A tablespoon. Well, I take 2 tablespoons a day, 1 in the morning before I eat anything, and then 1 at night. The 1 at night to me is important because when we go to sleep is the only time my body goes into comatose. So we don't burn any calories. You're asleep. That way, when you wake up, you're in detox mode automatically. Now, if you have a heavy schedule, some people, truck drivers, they do a lot in the day. Some people take both of theirs in the morning just to have that fuel energy all day long.
Okay. Well, it's good because I know that is 2 tablespoons a day. And so that's pretty much like I was not taking it like every 6 or every 8 hours. Mm-hmm. I would take both tablespoons. And even when I give it to my daughter, we'll take both tablespoons in the morning. So it's good to know that we can split it up with morning medication as well as evening medication. Mm-hmm. And speaking of my daughter, she's 11 years old. And we could never get her to take, she does not like, she's an amazing kid. But she doesn't like, the only type of fruits that she likes and vegetable is melon. She doesn't like strawberries, oranges, apple, plums, etc., etc. It is a fight to get her to eat salad or carrots as her vegetable intake every day. But she enjoys and will take every day this sea moss, mm-hmm, without any problems. And so the texture, as I said, I've had sea moss before and the texture has not been good. This, the flavor and the texture is above and beyond. I don't know what the special blend and what y'all got going on. And Miss Shawnee, I'm gonna give all the credit to you because he's a man and you know men's and them don't got it all together like they supposed to. So I'm putting it all behind you, but whatever it is.
Shouts out to Miss Shawnee. Now I actually work in the manufacturing department, so I actually make sea moss. But the thing is,
you see how he still trying to take the credit when I'm trying to give it to you?
Yeah, it's all about taking your time. Like, we learned, and we've grown because our sea moss now is not the product we had when we first started.
Okay.
When we first started, we got in like everybody else. we got it, whatever blender we could find from Walmart. Mm-hmm. Now it's a different level. The first blender we had was $15. Mm-hmm. The blender we have now is a couple hundred. So it's a whole different base on there now. We're blending it. I like to say our sea moss is a trio mixture. It's between applesauce, Jell-O, and gelato.
And I would agree with that because it has the applesauce texture. However, it does not just explain it. I'm like, what else is this? So again, my favorite passion is this mango. Passion mango.
And see, you haven't been exposed to the herbs one though. See, we have so many. I tell you, we got more options than Baskin Robbins, literally.
Oh, 31 flavors, and y'all know how I love my ice cream. So tell us, what is this one?
See, that's strawberry. So these are, I have three of our flavor profiles. These are the three highest sellers.
Okay.
So this is strawberry. This sour. Is sour apple, which is the number sour one for the kids. Like,
is it really?
Like the Nihilator Jolly Rancher taste. That's it right there.
It's a sour apple. Okay. Mm-hmm.
We got passion mango. And then we have one of our number one seller in the company. This is a male supplement. Strawberry flavor. It's called Young Bull.
You said it's a male supplement?
Male supplement.
So what makes this different than the other?
Well,
what?
This is just sea moss that's flavored. This right here is sea moss infused with horny goat, black maca, tribalist, and pinus panaster bark. So this is super energy, super stamina, super sex drive, the ability to withstand energy for long periods of time, the ability to work out and not be tired.
Super energy.
The ability
energy.
To pretty much just...
Super longevity.
Young bull.
Super sex drive. You don't need the blue pill. Now, my husband, he has the horny goat supplement, and I will tell you, when I was first eating, I was like, what the heck? Why do you need a horny goat? You are good in being able to satisfy me without this. And he began to say what it was and what was the purpose of it. But you got, so with that being said, you guys offer that as a supplement. Mm-hmm. And this one that is especially
Young Bull.
For men, the Young Bull. Now, as a male, you got the Young Bull. Mm-hmm. What we got for women?
Oh, the number two selling company, which is APS, A Pure Sensation. Now, that's sea moss infused.
A pure sensation. I like the
sea moss infused with horny goat also, but red maca, fenugreek, ashwagandha, and slippery elm. So the ashwagandha brings stress down, anxiety, but it gives you the ability to focus and lock in.
So where's that at? Because that's what I need. I'm going to try some of that. I'm going to need some of that.
Oh, yeah, I got you. I got you. I got gifts and sea moss for everybody.
So for what y'all don't know, I'm getting this one for my husband. Y'all need it. If you a male, make sure you check this out. This is what my daughter uses. She's 11. So for all of your children and just for general sea moss needs, we have this one. And then we also have the one for women as well.
Yeah.
And before we end, I want to talk about some of your other products that you have and the benefit of sea moss. Because I know all of these, if I'm not mistaken, they're sea moss based.
Yeah, so we have the sea moss gels. We also have some other products. Now we do make the sea moss facial cleansers and the sea moss toners. The one thing behind the sea moss depot, which a lot of people don't know, we want 100 stores. But the reason why we want 100 stores is to provide a platform for other minorities that provide products. So like our deodorants, this is provided by another minority who makes sea moss deodorant, but we keep it in all of our platforms. The sea moss herbal soap, this is by Osheen. We keep it in all of our locations. The Beijing company, which is out of Philly, they've selling charcoal and neem toothpaste for years. They just got on the sea moss toothpaste. We're one of the number one distributors of this sea moss toothpaste, hands down, all over. So what we do is, while we not only push our own products and we try to make sure that we're trying to establish ourselves, we make sure that when we come across good products like the sea moss body wash, we make sure if our clients and our customers say we love this, we're gonna provide that for them. We're not gonna go home and try to make our own body wash to cut the profit side If they said it like this, then it's what I want to provide. I try to provide products for people that they actually want, products that they need, and products that they like and enjoy and willing to come back and tell somebody else about.
And they smell so good. And these are all products that are black owned.
Yep, all
black owned. So when I think of even like this deodorant, it is what I get for my daughter from Loom.
Mm-hmm. No aluminum.
And so with that, instead of all of you who are, you know, fascinated and excited and participate in purchasing deodorant and fresheners like Loom, mm-hmm. support a black-owned business. This, when I tell you, this smells so good. Sea moss with raspberry.
It's a sea moss and elderberry shea butter. You smell it, you want to eat it.
Oh my God.
It's ridiculous. It's definitely one of the number one sellers.
This smells so good. And you all know that we need so much shea butter for everything. And we know that shea butter is also good for not only just regular, you know, every day, but what we deal with a lot in communities of color is eczema. Mm-hmm. I use shea butter every day with my daughter for her eczema and for her skin. Yeah. You know, so this is a great product to be able to, and it smells.
Yes, man. Yes.
Baby, when I tell you this smells so good, so the bomb. So where can we find you all at? Because y'all, seriously, if you have not tried, or even if you have tried sea moss before, and some of you may have tried it and you don't like it, when I tell you this is, because I've tried so many other types and I didn't like them, but this right here is the legit stuff. My favorite is the passion mango. But where can we find all of your products? The sea moss, the deodorants, the soaps, the lotions, the toothpaste.
Yeah, definitely. You can always find us on the sea moss depot.com. If you want to pull up on us and feel the experience in person, we're at 4855 Old National Highway, Suite C, College Park. We're at 415 Plassas Avenue, Northeast, Buckhead, Atlanta. And we're in Fantastic Indoor Swap Meet in Las Vegas, Nevada. So just tap in. And like I said, we deliver, we ship, we give 24-hour free consultation, 24-7, 365, 770-843-3625. Hit me up. I'm picking up the line. Shauna picking up the line. If we don't, somebody will call you back immediately. But like I said, everything we do, man, it's all love, man. We're not looking at the profit side of it. We're just trying to put in a whole lot of valuable work that really means something to a lot of people. And whatever the Most High has for us at the end of the day, I'm sure we'll be suffice with.
All right. And ladies and gentlemen, just to reiterate, as he said, he's available 24/7.
Yeah.
But y'all don't be calling him with no foolishness, because when you do, Miss Shauna gonna answer the phone and she gonna put you in your place, let me tell you. And males, if you're calling from Miss Shauna, believe me, Mr. Guy is gonna answer the phone and put you in your place. So unless you calling about business, the sea moss, which is, my goodness, the deodorant, the shea butter, and when I tell you, amazingly,
Let me give you a gift before I get out of here. I got gifts. I got products for everybody behind the scenes. Here you go. Some sea moss products. We got some toothpaste, some handmade soap for you. Like I said, I brought a bunch of different sea mosses so y'all can grab whichever ones y'all want. The sour apple, the pineapple, get whatever flavors y'all want to.
I cannot wait. Man, thank
you. Doc O after dark. Thanks for the staff, the establishment, man, everybody that blessed and even allowed me to
and
be here, man.
Again,
and the Most High, matter of fact.
Tell everybody where can
we find... Oh, that's a special Yoni bar right there. Oh,
wait a minute. Y'all know how I love my...
Oh yeah,
you gotta come to the Yoni.
We got all
y'all know how I love my Yoni and my
Know any people that make any kind of products, minority based, small businesses that make anything from candles, soap, I don't care what they make. Whatever they make, have them tap in with me at the Sea Moss Depot. I'm trying to build a platform to be able to put our stuff in. I want 100 locations that's overseas and here. Man, you can check us out at Instagram, Facebook, at the Sea Moss Depot, at Just As Guy, at IU Slim, at The Natural Guy, And look out for Slender with the Blender. Brrr. Come back to my content, man. Lock in and keep in with me, man.
And one thing before we go, I have to shout out this hat.
Oh, thank you. Hey, oh, no, listen.
If y'all ain't seen this, let me see. Turn, y'all, we got the tins over here, the details. If he was not married to the lovely, I would have taken that hat and confiscated it right on my head.
But I can get one from Sean Breezy, Life on Mars, down in Birmingham, Alabama. Sean Breezy, salute my guy. He's going crazy.
Life on Mars. Introduce you and bring you to Dr. O After Dark, and I'm gonna have my next hat. Where can we find?
We need to do something in Birmingham. Dr. O goes live in Birmingham. Bring Sean Breezy in as a special guest. The CMOS Depot as a sponsorship to help take care of some of this stuff, and we go down there and facilitate and have a good old time.
Absolutely.
Collaboration is the quickest form of innovation.
Absolutely. So I'm gonna have to get that hat. So the Sean boss, where can we find
Sean
him?
Sean Breezy. His name's Sean Breezy on Facebook. He used to be Shoepe Fiasco because he was he was the shoe guy before Stock X and all these people. He provided shoes.
So I'm gonna get some of the shoes.
Oh yeah, he still do classic shoes and a brim, whatever custom brim you have, he make whatever you want with all type of material.
So y'all already know. Y'all make sure you check everyone out on their social media platform and make sure you like, follow, and subscribe to Dr. O After Dark by following Dr. Olivia West. That is Dr. Olivia West on all platforms, as well as my website, justput.com after drolivia.com, and you will be able to access all of our products, find all of our Dr. O After Dark episodes, and most importantly, get your CMOS, all of your products right there. So I look forward to seeing you all again. Thank you.